Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome back to The Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be going behind the scenes at Ford.
Ford?
Yeah, Ford's Q3 2024 performance.
All right.
We've got a bunch of stuff to look at today. We've got the earnings call transcript, the presentation slides, and of course, the 10-Q.
Yeah, we've got to have the 10-Q. That's the that's where the details are. You know?
Exactly right. And it's late December 2024. So
happy holidays.
Happy holidays. Mm-hmm. But for the auto industry, it's not looking so hot.
No, not really. I mean, we've got supply chain's still messed up.
Yeah.
Inflation is still, you know, people are feeling it. And then on top of that, the whole EV thing is changing everything.
Yeah. It's a lot of change happening at once.
It really is.
So in this deep dive, we really want to find out what's working for Ford, what's not.
Right.
What does it all mean for the future of this big American company, right?
A big American icon.
Yeah, exactly. Is the Ford Plus plan, is that working?
Yeah.
What's really going on with the whole EV strategy?
Yeah, we'll get into that.
And I know you've got some really juicy details in there that I bet people haven't heard.
Oh, I've got, some things I bet most people listening have not come across yet.
Okay, great. Well, let's start with something kind of surprising, a success story. Ford's global restructuring?
Yeah.
This is pretty interesting.
Yeah, so back in 2018, you know, Ford was bleeding money in a lot of places.
Oh, yeah.
Europe, South America, India, China, I mean, just losing billions.
Oh.
And they made this really tough decision to restructure in all those places. And it looks like it's actually worked.
So it seems like it's really paid off, especially in China.
China especially, yeah.
And China's a tough market to crack.
It really is.
So that's really impressive.
Yeah. And so all those regions that were losing so much money, mm-hmm. they're making money now.
Really?
Yeah. And this puts them in a much better spot than some of their rivals who are, you know, still stuck trying to restructure, especially in China.
Yeah, it seems like some companies just can't quite figure out China.
It's a puzzle, yeah.
What I thought was interesting is that they called it an asset-light strategy in China.
Yeah.
So they're partnering with local companies, they're focusing on exports, and that's actually making a lot of money.
Yeah, it's bringing in over $600 million in profit just this year.
$600 million.
Just from that.
Just from, wow.
Yeah, so it seems like they figured out a way to, you know, work in China without all the headaches that other companies have had.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very interesting. Okay, so let's talk about EVs.
Big topic.
Yeah, it's the elephant in the room, right?
It is.
For everybody in the industry, and Ford's been making some pretty bold claims about their EV strategy, but are they just, you know, talking a big game?
Well, Jim Farley, the CEO, he seems pretty confident.
Oh, yeah.
In the earnings call, he was saying he wouldn't trade Ford's EV strategy for anybody else's.
Okay.
You know, he talked about how they were early to market.
Right.
So they've got all this experience.
Yeah, they were one of the first.
Yeah, they were that from the early days. So they've learned a lot and built a strong foundation. They've had some wins and some losses. They're figuring it out.
Yeah, that early mover advantage could be huge.
It really could.
But there's also this whole EV price war going on.
There is.
How is Ford going to compete in that?
Yeah, it's a tough market. Carly admitted that. He said there's, you know, too much capacity.
Too much capacity.
Yeah, too many new models hitting the market all at once.
Right.
And then there's all this pressure to sell EVs.
From the government?
Yeah, from regulations and, you know, everybody's got to be green.
Right.
So this all leads to, you know, big price cuts, a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
And so even though EV sales are up, like in the U.S., they're up 35% since the first quarter of 2023.
Wow.
The overall revenue is flat.
So that means the price cuts are canceling out all the gains from the volume.
Exactly. It's tough out there for everybody.
Yeah. So how is Ford going to handle this? I mean, they can't just keep cutting prices forever, can they?
Well, they're really focused on cost reduction.
Okay.
They've already cut $1 billion in costs this year.
A billion.
Yeah, with a B.
Wow.
And they're not stopping there. They're also changing their battery production.
How are they doing that?
Well, they're reducing their battery production capacity by 35%.
35%.
Oh. So they're getting leaner, you know, right sizing to meet the demand.
Okay.
But there's another interesting thing they're doing with batteries.
Oh.
They're shifting their focus to these things called LFP batteries.
LFP batteries, for those of us who are not battery experts, what does that mean?
Sure, yeah. So LFP stands for lithium iron phosphate.
Okay.
And these batteries are just cheaper to make than the ones Ford has been using.
Oh, okay.
And here's the really interesting part. Ford's going to be the first company to make LFP batteries in the U.S.
So they're cutting costs.
Yep.
They're getting more efficient. They're taking advantage of the tax credits from that Inflation Reduction Act.
Yeah, it's a win-win-win.
Yeah.
Smart move.
That's really smart.
And on top of all that, every new EV they release has to be profitable within 12 months.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
No more, you know, waiting years to see a return. It's gotta happen fast.
Gotta make money right away.
Yeah. And you mentioned some exciting next generation EVs. What's got Jim Farley so excited?
He's really excited about this midsize electric pickup truck they're designing.
Yeah.
It's being designed in California, and Farley saying it will be able to match any Chinese manufacturer on cost.
Wow. That's a big claim.
It is, yeah.
How can he be so sure about that this early?
Well, they've already got 60% of the bill of materials. That's all the parts that go into it. They've already got quotes for 60% of that.
Okay, so they're not just guessing. They've actually got a pretty good idea of how much it will cost to make this truck.
Yeah, they're not messing around.
All right, this EV truck war is going to be fun to watch.
It really is, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
And speaking of winning strategies, let's move on to another area where Ford is doing really well, their commercial vehicle and services division. Ford Pro.
All right, Ford Pro, yeah.
Yeah, it's been a real bright spot, you know, even with everything else going on.
It has.
What's their secret?
Well, they've created this really smart ecosystem. It's not just about selling a van or a truck. It's about all the other stuff that goes with it.
So it's not just the hardware.
No, it's the whole package.
Okay.
You get the vehicle, and then you get all this software, all these repair services. It's like a one-stop shop for businesses.
Right. It makes it a lot easier for them. They don't have to go to a bunch of different places.
Yeah, exactly. And their dealer network is huge, the biggest in the U.S. for commercial vehicles. So it's really easy for businesses to get everything they need in one place.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So if a company buys a Ford truck, they're probably going to sign up for the software and the repair services, too. Just because it's so easy.
Yeah, that's the idea. Keep it all in the family.
Yeah, and it's working because their software is really taking off.
It is. Their paid subscriptions have grown 50% year over year and 30% just in the third quarter of this year.
Wow, those are some pretty impressive numbers.
Yeah, they're doing really well there.
So what kind of software were we talking about here? Yeah. Is it just basic stuff, you know, for productivity?
Oh, no, this is serious stuff. We're talking vehicle tracking, telematics. You can even do remote diagnostics.
Really?
Yeah, you can see what's going on with the vehicle without even being there.
Wow.
And you can do things like lock and unlock the vehicle remotely, set limits on speed and acceleration. It's really powerful stuff.
So businesses can manage their fleets more efficiently.
Exactly. And more safely, too.
Yeah. And it sounds like they're willing to pay for that.
Oh, yeah. They see the value in it.
So what about the profit margins on this software?
Well, software generally has high margins.
Okay.
And Ford Pro is no exception. Their subscriptions have gross margins over 50%.
Over 50%. That's huge.
Yeah. Software could be a major moneymaker for Ford in the future.
Yeah. It seems like they're really building something special there.
They are. By 2026, they expect 20% of their earnings to come from repair services and software, up from 13% now. So it's a big shift.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like it.
So they're betting big on this.
Okay, well, speaking of revenue models, let's talk about Ford Blue. That's their traditional, internal combustion engine business.
Right, the gas guzzlers.
Yeah, the gas guzzlers. It's got to be tough competing when everybody's going electric.
It's a challenge for sure.
Yeah, so what's the outlook for Ford Blue? Is there still room to grow in this new EV world?
There are definitely some challenges, but there are also some bright spots.
Okay.
So let's start with the good news. Globally, they've got a fresh lineup. They're launching new versions of the Maverick and the Bronco.
Cool, cool.
In the fourth quarter of 2024, and then all new Expeditions and Navigators.
Oh, wow.
In the first quarter of 2025.
Those are popular models.
Very popular, especially in the U.S.
Yeah, and their market share in the U.S. actually went up in Q3. So even with all the hype around EVs, people are still buying gas-powered Fords.
They are. And here's another interesting thing. Their hybrid sales are booming.
Really?
They've more than doubled in the past 2 years.
I'm surprised by that. It seems like hybrids are often overlooked in all this rush to go all electric.
Yeah, a lot of companies kind of forgot about hybrids.
Yeah.
But Ford saw an opportunity and they went for it. Now they control almost 80% of the hybrid pickup truck market.
80%? Wow.
Yeah.
So it's like they're hedging their bets.
They are. They're the number one ICE brand in the U.S., the number two EV brand, and the number three hybrid brand.
So they're covering all their bases.
Yeah, no matter what happens, they're in a good position.
That's pretty impressive.
It is, but they are facing some headwinds with Ford Blue. You know, it's not all sunshine and roses.
Right. What are the biggest challenges they're up against?
Well, one of the issues is volume. They've discontinued some of their less profitable ICE passenger cars.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, they're focusing on the models that make them the most money, but that also means they're selling fewer vehicles overall.
Right. So even though their market share is up, they're actually selling less.
Exact.
That's a tough balancing act.
It is. And then there's the cost issue.
Those costs again?
Yeah. Manufacturing costs are up. And those warranty costs we talked about earlier are really hurting their profits.
Yeah. Those warranty costs just keep coming back.
They do. It's a headache for them.
Yeah. And on top of that, they're still dealing with those supply chain problems.
Oh, yeah. Everyone is.
Yeah. Just like everybody else. And that's impacting their production and the types of vehicles they can make.
It's making everything more difficult.
Yeah. It's a tough environment to be in. So it's kind of a mixed bag for Ford Blue. They've got some wins, but they're also facing some serious challenges.
Yeah, it's a bit of a roller coaster.
Okay, so let's zoom out a little bit and look at the big picture, the financials. How did Ford do in Q3 2024?
Well, there's some good news. Revenue was up 5% to over $46 billion. And that's their 10th consecutive quarter of year-over-year growth.
So people are still buying their vehicles.
They are. Demand is strong.
That's a good sign.
It is. And their adjusted earnings before interest and taxes, their EBIT, was $2.6 billion.
Okay.
With a margin of 5.5%.
So they're making money.
They are. And that margin was up from the same period last year. So they're getting more efficient.
That's great to hear. What about their cash flow? Is the money coming in?
Oh, yeah. Cash flow is healthy. They had $3.2 billion in adjusted free cash flow. That's the cash they have left over after all the bills are paid.
Right.
And they actually beat their target. So they're managing their money well.
That's great. So far, so good. But you mentioned earlier that they revised their full year earnings outlook. What happened there?
Well, they were initially projecting adjusted EBIT between $10 billion and $12 billion for the year.
Okay.
Now they've revised that down to about $10 billion.
What's causing them to miss their target?
Two main things. Those pesky warranty costs we talked about.
Ugh, those warranty costs.
Yeah, they're really hurting them.
Yeah.
And then there's the impact of inflation at their Turkish joint venture.
Turkey.
Yeah, they have a joint venture in Turkey that makes transit vans, and inflation there has been really high, which has pushed up the cost of materials.
So that's impacting their profits.
It is, yeah. It's a reminder of how interconnected the global economy is and how things happening in one part of the world can affect companies everywhere.
Like a domino effect.
Exactly. But it's worth noting that Ford is holding their management team accountable for improving performance.
How are they doing that?
They've tied executive compensation to specific goals like improving costs, quality, and shareholder returns.
Oh, interesting. So they're putting their money where their mouth is.
Exactly. They're not just talking about it. They're taking action.
All right. Let's talk more about this warranty issue.
The gift that keeps on giving.
It seems like a chronic problem for Ford. What are they doing to fix it?
Well, they are making progress, but it's a slow process. The good news is that their quality metrics are improving. Their 3MIS quality, which tracks problems in the first 3 months of a vehicle's life, is 31% better than it was 3 years ago.
31%? That's a big improvement.
It is, yeah. And their recent launches, like the new F-150 and Escape, haven't had any major warranty problems.
So the quality of their new vehicles is getting better.
It is. They're moving in the right direction.
That's good to hear.
And they've also gotten really good at using over-the-air software updates to fix problems and improve vehicle performance.
So it's like updating your phone.
Exactly. They've updated 4 million vehicles this year alone using OTA updates and 20 million total since they started doing this.
Wow, that's a lot of updates.
It is. And these updates can fix software glitches, improve features, and even prevent small problems from becoming big ones.
So it's like preventative maintenance.
Exactly. It's much cheaper to fix a problem with software than to have to do a recall or a repair at a dealership.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And they're not just limited to the infotainment system anymore. They can update 30 different vehicle modules wirelessly now.
So they have a lot more flexibility to fix things.
They do. It's a powerful tool.
So they're improving quality and using technology to fix things remotely. But if all that's true, why are warranty costs still so high?
Well, it takes time for these improvements to show up in the financials.
How long?
They say it can take up to 18 months.
18 months.
Yeah, it's not an overnight fix.
So they're doing the right things, but it just takes a while to see the results.
Exactly. It's a long game.
Okay, so where does Ford go from here? What are the key takeaways from all of this?
Well, it's a complicated picture, but I think they have a lot to be proud of.
Okay.
Their global restructuring has been a success. Ford Pro is killing it. And they seem to have a good handle on the EV transition.
They seem to be adapting well.
They are. They're making tough choices, like cutting those less profitable ICE vehicles.
Yeah, they're not afraid to make changes.
Yeah. No, they're not. But they're also operating in a very competitive and rapidly changing market.
Yeah, it's a tough industry.
It is. And that brings us to a question for you, dear listener.
Oh.
Ford seems very confident that their new EVs, especially that electric truck we talked about, will be able to compete with the Chinese on cost.
Yeah.
What do you think that means for the future of the EV market, if they can actually pull that off?
That's a great question. If Ford can make EVs that are both desirable and affordable, it could really shake things up.
It could. That's a story we'll be watching closely.
Definitely. And that's what the deep dive is all about, giving you the information you need to understand the world around us.
We want you to be informed.
Exactly. And we always encourage our listeners to look at the source documents themselves.
Yes. Do your own research.
Yeah. Don't just take our word for it.
And we'll be back soon with another deep dive into a topic we think you'll find fascinating. Until then, keep learning and keep exploring.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us.
See you next time.
Let's take a break.
Sounds good.
We are back, and we were talking about Ford Blue, which, you know, is their the gas-powered vehicles.
Yeah, the internal combustion engine, ICE vehicles.
ICE vehicles, exactly. So it's got to be tough to compete in this world that's increasingly going electric.
It is, but Ford's not giving up on ICE just yet.
Okay, so what's the outlook for Ford Blue then? Is there still room for growth?
Yeah, there's still a market for ICE vehicles, especially in certain segments.
Okay.
Like trucks, SUVs, things like that.
Right. Those aren't going away anytime soon.
No, not at all.
So what are the positives for Ford Blue?
Well, they've been doing a good job refreshing their lineup.
Okay.
They've got new versions of the Maverick and Bronco coming out.
Cool.
And they've got all new Expeditions and Navigators in the pipeline.
Wow, those are some big vehicles.
Yeah, they're popular, especially in the U.S.
Yeah, and their market share in the U.S. actually went up in Q3.
It did. So even with all the EV hype, people are still buying gas-powered Fords.
Yeah, it seems like there's still a lot of demand for those.
There is, and here's something that might surprise you. Their hybrid sales are doing really well.
Really?
Yeah, they've more than doubled in the past 2 years.
Wow, I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, a lot of people thought hybrids were kind of a dead end.
Right.
But Ford's been investing in them and it's paying off.
So it's like they're hedging their bets.
Exactly. They're not putting all their eggs in one basket.
Smart move.
They're the number one ICE brand, the number two EV brand, and the number three hybrid brand.
Wow, they're everywhere.
They're covering all their bases.
So what are some of the challenges they're facing with Ford Blue?
Well, one of the biggest challenges is volume.
Okay.
They've discontinued some of their less profitable ICE passenger cars.
Right. So they're focusing on the more profitable models.
Exactly. But that means they're selling fewer vehicles overall.
Right. So even though their market share is up, their overall sales are down.
Yeah, it's a trade-off.
And then there's the cost issue.
Those costs again.
Yeah, those costs, they're always there.
Manufacturing costs are up. Warranty costs are up. It's tough.
And they're still dealing with those supply chain problems.
Oh, yeah. Everybody is.
Yeah, it seems like those are just part of the landscape now.
They are. They're not going away anytime soon.
All right, so it's a mixed bag for Ford Blue. They've got some things going for them, but they're also facing some real headwinds.
Yeah, it's a balancing act.
Okay, so let's shift gears a bit and talk about their overall financial performance. How did they do in Q3?
Overall, they did pretty well.
Right.
Revenue was up 5% to over $46 billion.
So they're still growing.
They are. And that's their 10th consecutive quarter of year-over-year growth.
Wow, that's impressive.
It is. It shows that demand for their vehicles is still strong.
Okay, what about their profitability?
Their adjusted EBIT was $2.6 billion with a margin of 5.5%.
So they're making money.
They are. And that margin's up from last year, so they're getting more efficient.
That's good to hear. And what about their cash flow?
Cash flow is healthy. They had $3.2 billion in adjusted free cash flow.
So the money's coming in.
It is. They're in a good spot financially.
But you mentioned earlier that they lowered their full-year earnings guidance. What happened there?
Yeah, they were originally projecting adjusted EBIT between $10 billion and $12 billion for the year, but now they're saying it's going to be closer to $10 billion.
Okay. What's causing them to lower their expectations?
Two main things. Those pesky warranty costs again.
Those warranty costs.
And then there's the impact of inflation at their Turkish joint venture.
Turkey? What's going on in Turkey?
They have a joint venture there that makes transit vans, and inflation in Turkey has been really high, which has increased the cost of materials.
So that's eating into their profits.
It is, yeah. It just goes to show how these global economic forces can impact a company like Ford.
Yeah, it's all connected.
But Ford is taking steps to address these challenges. They're holding their management team accountable for improving performance.
How are they doing that?
They've tied executive compensation to things like cost reduction, quality improvement, and shareholder returns.
So they're putting their money where their mouth is.
Exactly. They're not just talking about it. They're taking concrete steps to improve their business.
Okay, well, let's talk more about those warranty costs.
The thorn in Ford's side.
They seem to be a recurring problem. What are they doing to tackle them?
Well, they're making progress, but it's slow.
Okay.
The good news is that their quality metrics are improving. Their 3MIS quality is up 31% from 3 years ago.
That's significant.
It is. And their newer vehicles, like the F-150 and Escape, haven't had any major warranty issues.
So the quality of their vehicles is getting better.
It is. And they're also getting really good at using over-the-air software updates to fix problems and improve performance.
So it's like updating your phone or your computer.
Exactly. They can fix things remotely without having to bring the vehicle in for service.
That's pretty cool.
It is. And they've done a lot of updates this year. 4 million vehicles via OTA updates.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. And these updates can fix software glitches, improve features, and prevent small problems from becoming big ones.
So it's a proactive approach.
Exactly. It's much cheaper to fix a problem with software than to have to do a recall or a repair at a dealership.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they're improving quality and using technology to fix things remotely. But if all that's true, why are warranty costs still so high?
Yeah, that's a good question.
It comes down to timing. These improvements take time to show up in the financial results.
How long?
They say it can take up to 18 months.
18 months.
Yeah, it's a long process.
So they're on the right track, but it just takes a while to see the results.
Exactly. It's a long game.
Okay, so let's zoom out again and look at the big picture. What are the key takeaways from all of this?
Well, I think Ford is at a crossroads.
Okay.
They're facing some serious challenges, like those warranty costs and the EV price war.
Yeah, those are big ones.
But they're also doing a lot of things right, like their global restructuring and their investment in Ford Pro.
And their approach to EVs seems pretty solid.
Yeah, they're not putting all their eggs in one basket. They're investing in both EVs and ICE vehicles, and they're doing a good job of managing their costs.
So they're being cautious, but they're also being ambitious.
Exactly. They're trying to find that sweet spot.
And that's not easy in this market.
No, it's not. It's a very dynamic and challenging industry.
Okay, well, we've covered a lot of ground today.
We have.
We've talked about Ford's global restructuring, their EV strategy, the success of Ford Pro, the challenges facing Ford Blue, and their overall financial performance.
It's been a deep dive.
It has, and we still got more to discuss.
Love you.
But first, we need to take another break.
All right, sounds good.
All right, we're back, and we've covered a lot of ground in this deep dive into Ford's Q3 2024 performance.
We have, yeah. We've looked at their global restructuring, the whole EV situation, the success of Ford Pro, and, you know, the challenges facing Ford Blue.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's one more thing I want to touch on before we wrap up. In the earnings call transcript, there was some talk about how Ford is handling those emissions regulations, especially in Europe where they're really strict.
Yeah. That's a big deal, especially with, you know, climate change and everything.
Right. And what I thought was interesting was that Jim Farley was very clear that Ford is not relying on those emissions credits to meet the regulations.
Yeah, he's pretty adamant about that.
Yeah, he said they're not trading wooden nickels for credits.
I like that, wooden nickels.
That's a good one, right?
Yeah, so he's basically saying that Ford is committed to actually reducing their emissions, not just buying their way out of trouble.
Right. They're not taking shortcuts.
Nope. They're in it for the long haul.
So it seems like they're taking a long-term approach, investing in EVs that are actually competitive.
Yeah, they're not just doing it for show. They want to be a leader in this space.
And as we talked about earlier, they're really focused on making those EVs profitable.
Got to make money.
Yeah. Otherwise, it's all for nothing.
Exactly.
You know, one thing I think people often forget is that those emissions regulations are different for cars and trucks.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point. You can't just lump them all together.
Right. So Ford is really emphasizing their electric transit vans and their hybrid F-150 and Maverick pickups.
Smart move. They're covering all their bases.
Yeah. It's all about diversification.
It is. You got to have options.
So as we wrap up this deep dive, I'm feeling, I guess you could say, cautiously optimistic about Ford.
Cautiously optimistic. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why cautious?
Well, they're definitely facing some challenges. Those warranty costs are still a problem. And that EV price war is going to keep putting pressure on their profits.
True. It's a tough market out there.
But they're also doing a lot of things right. Their global restructuring was a success. Ford Pro's doing great. And they seem to have a good plan for the EV transition.
They're adapting.
They are. They're making tough decisions. They're investing in the right technologies. And they're not afraid to change.
It's a company in transition.
It is. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens next.
Definitely. We'll be watching closely.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us on The Deep Dive.
Thanks for listening.
As always, we encourage you to check out the source documents for yourself.
Do your own research.
Yeah. Don't just take our word for it. Form your own opinions.
And keep asking questions.
Absolutely. And we'll be back soon with another deep dive into a topic we think you'll find fascinating.
See you next time.
This is the Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.